Well, hey, everybody, come on in. Time for church to start. Find a seat. It's good to have you tonight. If you're watching on live stream, it's good to have you wherever you're watching from. Well, happy Wednesday. Now, generally, we don't like the rain, but we need this rain. I mean, I know that. It's been hot and dry, so it's good to have some rain. But I'm glad you're here tonight. As always, our kids are with us for worship, so make sure your kids are with you. So if you have little ones and they're not in arm's distance, please find them. That would help us out a little bit. And by the way, it is youth hangout tonight. So not only are kids dismissed to kids' church after worship, but also 5th through 12th grade have youth hangout. And that's with Eric and Justice, and they'll be leading youth hangout tonight. Now, don't forget, a couple things. Don't forget that this coming Sunday is the fifth Sunday of the month, and it happens four or five times a year. It is a one big family Sunday. Amen. We love one big family. And what that means is our kids will be with us for the whole service. They help with the service. And we got actually some different things going on Sunday because of it. So we're looking forward to one big family on Sunday. And by the way, we are having a baby dedication this Sunday. So if you have a little one that's never been dedicated to the Lord, there's a sign-up sheet at the back for that. And we're service is closing out on Sunday morning. We'll have a baby dedication. So if you have questions about that, you can please see me. And also, we do have another announcement, actually a couple more that we're going to do after everybody's dismissed when all the adults are back up. But there is a youth camp fundraiser this Saturday night. We're going to tell you a little bit more about that in just a little while. So, but make sure you're paying attention to that time. It's important. We got youth camp coming up. And we just had VBS, by the way. And VBS was amazing, and we had a great time. So let me just say this real quick. Thank you to all the volunteers and everybody that helped put us on. It's a lot of work, a lot of time. And I know I wasn't, like, super involved in it, but I was still tired this morning. So I just know that everybody was really involved. You had to be really tired. But they did a great job and had a bunch of kids out every single night this week, and we had a great VBS. So thank you for helping for that. And one big family Sunday morning, we're actually going to kick off our service with them doing one of their songs from VBS. It's going to be fun, so make sure you're here for that Sunday morning. But other than that, let's get up and worship tonight. So stand up on your feet, and let's worship Jesus together. Thank you.
reminded me tonight. And he said, love covers a multitude of sins. This is the type of love that looks past what people have done to you. Christian brothers and sisters, the love that you have for them is stronger than the offense that they put upon you. The love that God gives us covers all the sin that they've sinned against you, whether intentional or unintentional. It's a strong love. It's the type of love that forgives even before they ask. And tonight he's saying, remember, love is powerful when it covers all the sin that's coming against you. It's when you have every right to get upset and offended, but you choose not to because you let love overwhelm you for that person. Amen.
Sing. Great are you. strength be found in you, Father. No matter what comes our way, God, let us remember where our help comes from. Our help comes from the maker of heaven and earth. Great are you, Lord. You are so, so good. We give you all of our worship, Father. You are worthy of our song. You are worthy of our adoration. You are worthy of our praise. Holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is yet to come. God, for who you are, for calling us by name, for being our Jehovah Jireh, our provider, the one who meets every single need, every time, in your perfect timing. Just come and have your way tonight. In the name of Jesus, the name above every other name. Amen and amen. Well, we're so glad to have you all here with us. If you would, go around and greet some of your family of faith tonight, and kids and youth, you're dismissed.
Well, it's good to have you. We'll give everybody a chance to get their kids checked into Kids Church and back up here, and youth down to youth hangout. Give everybody just a moment, but it's good to have you. And again, VBS was a good time, and we appreciate all of your efforts that went into that. And I think near 40 kids during VBS, if you count the little ones that were here, but up to 40 kids were here. Through the nights, and the last night, every child that was in the teaching time prayed a prayer to give their heart to Jesus. So that's amazing, and exposing them to the gospel and who Jesus is, and that's what it was all about. So heroes of the faith, and the first night they learned about David, and second night Queen Esther, and certainly the third night the greatest hero of all. We talked about Jesus and his life and what he's all about. So effort like that is always worth it, is it not? And for our kids, and the vast majority of people that come to faith do so before they're the age 18. Do you know that? And by the way, we had a handful of community kids come in. I don't know how many, but people that don't go to church here, some of their kids were here, and even a gentleman that lives in town. Saw the sign out front, and he brought his kid over. So it's always a good thing, not only for the kids in our church, but exposes the gospel to other kids in the neighborhood. So, and we're still giving everybody a chance to get their kids checked in. But while we're doing that, a couple things real quick. Don't forget,
that this coming Sunday is Jeffrey Wright's memorial service, and from 12 to 1 o'clock is visitation with Katie and any Jeffrey's of Jeffrey's family that's here. Then at 1 p.m. we're going to have a memorial service. So I encourage you, if you knew Jeffrey and Katie, to come on out for that. But that's this coming Sunday. And then we also, this Saturday, have a youth fundraiser for camp. So I'm going to have Samara tell you all about that.
Yeah, so what better thing to invest in than the children, right? They're the future of this church. They're the future of what the Lord is doing. We're really excited to be able to send a good-sized group to camp over in Bakken's. And so this Saturday, we are just trying to raise some money to help with the cost. It does cost $200 per child to go to camp. I think it's Wednesday through Saturday, and they rent a campground, so that's an expense. But so we're just asking anyone who wants to come and eat dinner and fellowship. We also have a to-go option, so you don't have to stay if you don't want to. But I know the kids are already, they're getting so excited about dressing up. So if you want to come out, we actually have a sign-up sheet just because we're trying to get a range of how much food to buy, but we want you to bring people if you can. We're going to hold out signs out front and just try to get as many people as we can. In those doors. So if you want to come out, it's from 5 to 7 on Saturday, and there will be spaghetti and breadsticks and different desserts and salad. And like I said, the kids are super excited about it. So we hope to see you there.
Certain price, or was it donation? I missed that. For donation. Okay, so that's this Saturday. And by the way, the camp is the camp that we call it the Bakken's Campus puts on. Every summer for the youth. It's at a Lighthouse camp in St. Mary's. But this camp, this youth camp, is a camp that I started. And this year is the 25th anniversary of that youth camp. So it's been going every year for 25 years. So actually the last two nights I'm going to go up and be the speaker at the camp. And it's kind of amazing. I was just thinking the other day, my gosh, I am just old. My word, a youth camp that I started is 25 years. But I'm excited that we already have several of our kids signed up to go. I think we have some more that are probably signed up to go. But this just helps to alleviate the funds. It is $200 per kid, which, by the way, as it goes with youth camps, that's not a lot anymore. Generally, camps are $300, $400, $500 anymore. But $200 is not a bad price. But if we can do anything to alleviate as much of that money for the students, that would be wonderful. So even if you don't want to come eat, or you can still just donate some money anyways, and just either put an offering designated youth camp, it'll go to the youth camp, or you can give it to me and I'll get it put in there. But we want to bless our students as they're heading to camp. And camp is July 23rd or 24th, 25th, 26th, that's that week. 24th. Okay, so it's actually a month from now, and the students have to register for that by the first week of July. So, tithe and offering, let's do that. If you have something to give, you can prepare it, offering envelopes in the chairs in front of you. If not, Mike has some extras for you, but we appreciate your giving. And certainly things like VBS and youth camp and all the different things that happen with our church are funded by your giving. So, again, what you do certainly helps the things that we do to build the church and proclaim the gospel. Okay, so let me pray over it. And if you have something, you can bring it down to the baskets. Lord, I thank you for being in your house on a Wednesday night with the Wednesday crew. And I thank you, Lord, that we have an opportunity to be together like this and to worship together and to dive into the scriptures together and have things for our kids, Lord. And I pray as we give tonight, Lord, it's just another aspect of that faithful gathering. And your faithfulness to us and our learning to be faithful unto you, that you are our provider, and our giving is a testament to that. And we thank you for your faithfulness. In Jesus' name we all say, amen. So if you have something, you can bring it. And if you have your Bible, while we're doing that, Luke chapter 10, if you don't have a Bible, that's okay. We'll put it up on the screen for you, the scripture. But Luke chapter 10 and verse 38. And as you turn there, let me give you a little bit of an introduction and a kind of a recap, kind of set up what's happening tonight. This is the third week of a series called Taming Your Time. Taming Your Time. And what I have found is that there is a lot of people out there that struggle with finding a good balance of different aspects of their life. And one thing we hear consistently is, I'm just tired all the time. Or we hear consistently, I have too much to do. Or we hear consistently, I don't get done the things that are most important. I end up doing a whole lot of other stuff. And in other words, we've got to learn to bring stewardship to the time that we have. And stewardship is simply approaching different aspects of life and handling it with care and wisdom. So everything that God gives you in life, you're supposed to handle with stewardship in some way. How many of y'all got money? Some of you have more money than others. It's just life, okay? But whatever money you do have, you're supposed to be a good steward with it, right? You realize that God can always be your provider, and you can still never have enough because you're not a good steward with your money? Amen. I'll amen myself on that one. You see what I'm saying? Time's the same way. Everybody's got the same amount of time. You, me, the person sitting next to you, whoever's watching on live stream tonight, we all get the same amount of seconds and hours and days. Now, eventually, we all die at different times, but in the general sense, we all get the same amount of time. What you do with your time means everything, because God does care what you do with your time. And again, when we find people that are over busy, they're not getting done the things that they think they should get done, they end up doing other things. Or we find, too, again, that lack of rest or over-busyness leads to stress, anxiousness, worry, things that keep you up at night kind of stuff. We've got to come back to and do some basic things about time. So that's what this is about. Some practical things about being good steward of your time. So I'm going to just in 2 or 3 minutes recap where we've been the last couple weeks, because it kind of sets up tonight. So the first time we talked about this, we ended up making, listen, there'll be a something to give out tonight to write some things down. We had you write down what are your priorities and responsibilities in life that you are accountable before God for. And it's important to define what those things are. Okay? What are the things that you are responsible for in life that you will be accountable before God for? Now, you can have a whole host of things that you consider responsibilities in life, but not all of them will be things you're accountable to God for. Does that make sense? You see what I mean by that? And you've got to come back and say, the biggest priorities of my life are the things that I'm going to be accountable to God for. Therefore, I must make sure, being a good steward of my time, that I'm dedicating enough time to do what's necessary to be responsible in those things versus all the other things that I can fill my life with. So we had to write that list down. Last week, we talked about that you need to learn to set boundaries in your life with your time. In other words, the word no can be your best friend. Okay? And you've got to learn to set boundaries. Because here's the thing, you don't have to do everything. And your kids don't have to do everything. I would encourage you to let your kids do as much as they can do without overrunning your life with busyness. My kids were very busy. They did a lot of stuff, but I didn't let them do everything. Does that make sense? You don't have to do everything. You can say no, but also, you've got to learn in your life what needs cut out. This is something I spend a lot of time on, and too much time, and it's not really beneficial to me at the end of the day. I need to cut this out of my life. Or there's things that I need to curb back the amount of time I'm spending on it. And I'll give you one of the biggest samples in the world right here. This thing's not evil in of itself, but if you sit there on there all day and just scroll through reels, whatever you do, and spend so much time on your phone, and you're neglecting your spouse or neglecting your kids, or there's responsibilities that need to be taken care of, and you're not doing it because this is taking up your time, you've got to learn to curb this back. In other words, there's things to cut back and curb. It takes your discipline. Now, one thing about responsibilities with that, and this is important, again, there are things that you have in your life, and I always use the term, what is in your hand? What do you have? That you have that God put there that you're accountable before Him for, but there could be a whole host of things in your life that are responsibilities that you put in your hand and God did not. And it could be that a lot of those things are actually good things. There's nothing really wrong with them. Nothing sinful or evil about it. They actually may be things that benefit other people and help other people. But if you find yourself over busy and end up not taking care of responsibilities that God put in your hand with things that you put in your hand, even though they may be good, you've got to learn doing 10 great things makes you over busy, but it's better to do 8 instead of 10. You see what I'm getting at? Because here's the thing. Everybody looks at me. Everybody look at me. There's always one more good thing to do. Because there's billions of people in this world that need help. You see what I'm getting at? And you've got to learn that God did not call you to kill yourself with over busyness. He called you to be a good steward with what He's called you to do. And what He's placed in my hand, what I have in responsibility, that I have a spouse, kids, I have a job and a calling, which are the same thing in my life. Anything else, generally, is something that I put in my hand. Can be good, can be okay, but as long as it's not taking me away from my responsibilities that I'm accountable to God for, it's okay. But the moment that I'm over busy and I'm not taking care of my spouse right or my kids or even my house and the things that I have that I'm supposed to be a good steward of, then I've got to say, 10 good things that I'm doing are great, but it's better if I do 8. Lord, help me in wisdom, cut back to 8. You see what I'm getting at? Stewardship of your time. Because trust me, as a pastor, and by the way, if you notice something about our church, we do a bunch of stuff, but I don't do everything every other church is doing. Because I could fill a calendar of church things and everything, all of a sudden everything's just white noise. And it's not effective. I'd rather our church be good at 5 things than do 15 things and be mediocre and then nobody come anyways. It's better to focus and do good on what you feel the Lord's saying than do stuff just because you can. Be a good steward of your time, okay? Now, I want to talk to you about 2 things that go with that. That was more than 2 or 3 minutes. But anyways, here we are. I want to talk to you about 2 things that got to be put in your list of things to do. Because both of these things are things that are beneficial to you. The first thing is you're spending time with the Lord. The second thing is the word rest. Okay, so I want to talk to you about those 2 things. Your healthy rhythm of spending time with the Lord and a healthy rhythm of rest. Because without a healthy rhythm of you spending time with the Lord and without a healthy rhythm of rest, then you will be affected not only spiritually, but you'll be affected physically and you'll be affected mentally. It'll affect your whole being. And we've got to come to a place that in the busyness of life, these things are important. So Matthew chapter 10 and verse 38. It says, now they went on their way, and Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving. Now let me ask you a question. Is there anything wrong with serving? Absolutely not. As a matter of fact, you're supposed to serve. It's good to look out for the needs of other people. We're called to do that. But yet, we find right here that Jesus was there. Martha welcomed him. Her sister Mary, though, where Jesus was sitting at his feet listening to him. But Martha was distracted with good stuff to do. And Martha went up to Jesus and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? His sisters complaining about each other right here. Oh, little sister squabble. I'm doing all the work and you're just sitting there doing nothing. Ever hear that story in your house? That's what's going on here. Tell him, listen to Houston, now tell her to help me. She's listening to you. You're Jesus. Tell her to help me. But the Lord answered her, Martha, Martha, that double Martha right there. In other words, he's saying, Martha, calm down. Relax a second. Listen to what I'm about to say. You are anxious and troubled about many things. Again, serving is not bad. Looking out for another person is not bad, but yet troubled about many things. But one thing is necessary, and Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her. Jesus is there and available to each one of us. But you can be Mary or you can be Martha. You can busy your life with stuff, listen to me, even good things, but the business of life keeps you from sitting at the feet of Jesus and listening to him. You see that? Simple lesson. Matthew 6, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Now watch this. In that scripture it says, then all these things will be added unto you. And that's the context of people chasing things in life. Look, yes, having things in life is okay. I'm glad you're all wearing clothes tonight and you had a car to drive here tonight. And when you leave here, you got a house to go back to. I'm thankful. I'm thankful that a lot of you go to a job in the morning. If you don't, you probably got kids at home. Whatever your story is, I'm thankful you have all these things. But all these things don't mean nothing if you're not seeking first the kingdom. But part of learning about seeking first the kingdom is learning how to get to the feet of Jesus. Now notice what she did. Jesus, let's say sitting here, she literally sat down at his feet and stopped doing other stuff. Stopped. And she listened. See, a healthy rhythm of life where you are stopping life and the busyness of life, even if it's a lot of good stuff, to take time with the Lord, to get your Bible out and spend a few moments here, to take a few moments in prayer, maybe even some worship. Stopping. See, this needs to be a priority that lands on your responsibility list. But so often, people are so busy, it shows up by a lack of time with the Lord. But I would just say, so busy, sometimes it's simply just a lack of discipline. Let's be honest. Now, look, I get, we all go through different busy seasons of life. So there's certain seasons of life where you are super busy, some less busy, whatever. But however you find it, whatever rhythm you can develop, you need to develop a healthy rhythm of stopping, and spending time with him. This is important. Even if what you stop may shock some of you, even if what you stop is serving somebody else. Because eventually, if you are a person that serves other people a lot, your well is going to get dried up if your well is not being filled up. So I have a rhythm, and it's, again, I get to cheat because I work full-time as a pastor. First thing that happens when I get to work is call work is spend time in the Word and prayer. Let me tell you something. The only person on the face of the planet that can distract me during that time would be my wife. Or maybe one of my kids, because they would never call during that time unless it's an emergency. Anybody else that texts or a call comes through, it just doesn't blip my radar. They'll be there when I'm done and whatever time I'm done. Because my time with the Lord is vital to my spiritual health, which then rolls into my mental health and other aspects of who I am. So a question is, do you have a healthy rhythm of spending time with the Lord? Now, I want to read you another scripture. Luke chapter 5. Jump back a couple chapters in Luke there. Luke chapter 5 and verse 16. Let's start in verse 15. Who do I got back there? Kelly, verse 15, please. But now even more the report about him went abroad, this is Jesus, and great crowds gathered to hear Jesus and to be healed of their infirmities. Now watch this. Everybody look at me. Great crowds are finding Jesus. The reports about him are spreading. Okay. Everybody up here. They're following him. They're coming because they have needs. But watch what would happen sometimes when Jesus would see the crowds. Verse 16. But, now connect the word, but he would withdraw to desolate places and pray. See that? Great crowds are following Jesus, and Jesus knows more than anybody, they have a lot of things that need help. Jesus is also aware more than anybody else, and he's the only one that knows this at this point, he only has a very limited time he's going to be here with them. He sees everything in front of him, all the good things that need to happen, he would withdraw from it, and he would go to lonely places, and he would pray. Must we learn this pattern in our lives? That you must have a healthy rhythm of withdrawing to lonely places, in other words, alone places, and learn how to pray and spend time with him and be with the Lord. This is vital for you. Again, there's a lot of things you can do, a lot of good stuff out there, but it's not worth, listen to me, it's not worth your spiritual health. And this is one thing I've learned in pastoring as long as I can. Pastoring is great, but it's not worth my spiritual health. What good is it to have a great ministry and lose my soul? You see how I'm getting at? What good is it to have a great ministry, but yet me be burned out and fried out and struggling and feeling like nothing left to give and not liking what I'm called to do? It's worthless. It doesn't mean anything. Same for you. Got to make sure your wells are filled. But that's because you take time with the Lord. And it's a health. Now, I'm going to have you write down. Al's going to pass these out, but I'm going to keep talking. It's the second point I want to get to. I'm going to have you write down when I'm done, what is your pattern of spending time with the Lord? Now, depending on your schedule, it may be different, but you kind of have a rhythm. Maybe some of you, it's the same thing mostly every day. But if you don't have anything to write down, then I would say begin to develop it because it's important. But here's the second point. This is just as important. Rest. This is the one right here that is symptomatic of an over-busy life. That if you never find time to rest. And this is the discovery I have made as I've gotten older. I've shared with you guys before, I'm a restless person. I like to go, and I like to do, and I hate sitting around and doing nothing. I may sit down and watch a ball game or so or whatever, but other than that, I don't like sitting. I shared this with you 100 times. I always got a list of stuff to do. There's always a project around the house. Thank you. I mean, there's always something happening. But I've learned that we should have a rhythm of rest. Genesis chapter 2. Let's go back, and I think you know where we're going here, I think. But Genesis chapter 2. God understands this, and he set a pattern in the law of this. Genesis chapter 2, let's see, verse 1. It says, thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day, God finished his work and what he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work that he had done. So God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it, God rested from all his work that he had done in creation. Now, if you know anything about the law, what rolled out of that was that then he established what is called the Sabbath. And they were required to observe the Sabbath. Sundown on Friday to sundown Saturday. But also what rolled out of that is a series of sevens. Every 7 years there was a special rest for the land. And then seven times seven rose into the 50th year was this jubilee where slaves were freed and debt was released and land was given back. And it was a series of sevens that not only talked about rest, but also about freedom from the things that bound us up in life. And we find that in the law. Well, we know that Jesus fulfills the law, and Jesus is actually the Lord of the Sabbath. And what that means is we do find our rest in him now. But it's talking about those things being fulfilled into our eternal rest with him. Okay, there's a big picture working there. But yet, though we're not bound by the law of keeping the actual minutes of the Sabbath weekly, there is wisdom in regular rhythms of rest. There's wisdom there. That you must learn it in the Sabbath. Shabbat means stop. Stop. Lay down. Stop. Don't do anything. It's another word for rest. Nuach. It means to rest into. You've got to learn how to stop. Not just to spend the time with the Lord, but stop and rest. Got to do it. And if you're saying, I never have time to rest, go back to your priority list. Go back to the things that are in your hand that you put there versus the thing you're responsible to the Lord for. And start to cut back some things that you put in your hand. It doesn't mean you necessarily have to keep a certain amount of time every week, but what it means is you're finding a regular rhythm of stopping and resting, because it's good for you physically and also mentally. See, these are rhythms of life that you must find yourself into. Rhythms of life that help you be, really, listen to me. God gives us time that we're to be good stewards of, but you realize that part of being a good steward with your time is doing the best you can with your body so you can live enough time that God would have for you. Now, I'm not going to talk about physical health and all that kind of stuff, but let the root of it be, it's good for you to rest physically, that you don't wear yourself out with busyness. Again, I understand, there are certain seasons of life where you're really busy. Like if you're a farmer, there's just the planting and the harvest. Those are super busy times. Or maybe you're starting a business, that's extra time there. I get it. Certain seasons of life, but keep conscious of finding moments of rest, of stopping and setting down and just relaxing. It's good for you. It'll help your worry and your stress too, by the way. especially if you've got a lot of kids. Now, again, your seasons of life change. My kids were little, we were a little busier. Now that we're empty nesters, we're less busy, but filled with different things in life. These things change for your life. You're going to be shifting and changing and discovering these things at different places in your life. But the thing is, always find these things, no matter where you're at in life. But if you got a bunch of little kids, I understand, there's always something going on. It's good for you to be able to find rest. And how, listen to me, that's for you to figure out. But find it to literally stop. What if it's just for two or three hours? Good, do it. What if it's a whole day? Great, better. But find it. You see what I'm getting at? Because if God instituted it in something he did, they instituted in the law, even though we don't need to follow the strict rules of it, there's still wisdom in there. We find a lot of wisdom in those kind of things. So I actively will look for rest. And I think I shared this last week. I know when I am not fulfilling rest in my life enough because I start to get protective of days off. So if I know I have Saturday off, I start to think in my mind, I said something about this last week, Margaret said, you shouldn't have said that, but I start thinking, oh, I hope I don't have anything going on Saturday. And I'll go to Margaret, do we have anything going on? And I always ask. And I'm thinking, is there nothing on the church calendar? Okay, nothing, good. Who knows, maybe a crisis will come up. Can't avoid that. But I start to become protective of time. And then at some point, it clicks in my brain, you're not resting enough. Okay, I got to find some rest. But a regular rhythm of it is good. Okay, how many know what I'm getting at? So here's what I want to do. You got that piece of paper or that note card. I want you to write down first what your rhythm of spending time with God looks like. And if you don't have anything to write down, I want you to start to do it. And it may take you saying, okay, each day from this time to this time is my time with the Lord. By the way, how long does that have to be? Whatever you want. You don't have to do it for long, long periods of time. The Bible doesn't teach that. So don't be legalistic about it. But whatever you want, whatever you feel. Now, the Lord may direct you in what? He may call you to deeper places at certain times and at time lengthens, but whatever. Whatever you want. I'm going to spend 30 minutes a day with the Lord in Bible reading and prayer. And it's going to be from this time to this time. And you discipline yourself to it. You start a rhythm. Second thing I want you to write down, what kind of rhythm of rest are you finding? And if you have nothing, I don't feel I can. I don't have anything to write down. Develop a rhythm of rest where you're stopping and relaxing. So there was a family we talked to at Love Your Marriage at another campus, and we were talking about this, and they, not long after we talked with them, they sent me a message and said, we've been finding periods of rest. Sometimes it's only for like 2 or 3 hours at a time. But we realized, you know what? We don't have to go do that right now. We actually just stay here and do nothing. Even if it meant not running down the road and getting coffee, but sitting at home and just relaxing. And they're starting to find periods of time like that. We just always filled it with something. Always went and did something. We got active with that time. But they're saying, you know what? We actually are finding periods of time where we can sit and just do nothing. And they're like, we enjoy this. I said, good, you're finding rhythm of rest. So those two things you wrote down. So what we have now is, if you've been keeping your note cards, you have your priority list. Last week, you have a list of things that you want to cut out or curb in your life. And now you're writing down rhythm of time with God and rhythm of rest. Or if you don't have something, you're going to develop something. Now you're developing something to look at to say, how am I going to be a steward of my time? I'm going to take care of my priority list. I'm going to make sure I'm doing what I'm supposed to do. I'm going to make sure I'm in this rhythm of time with the Lord and time of rest. And now that I'm taking care of those two things, here are the things in my life that are taking up that time. So here's the things I got to cut out or the things I have to curb. See, I'm getting at. And you're developing a stewardship of the time that you have. So you're going to have to think about this. And you're going to have to take this step home and think about, at the end of the day, what did I spend my time doing today? Was it beneficial to me or those around me? Did it take me away from priorities? And you have to think about this because you're going to find things. You know what? I didn't need to do that. Now, again, are hobbies bad? Recreational things? Not at all, as long as, again, they're in the proper place. Okay? I mean, know what I'm getting at. Let me see some hands here. Okay, good. Let's work on these things. I know it's super, super practical, but it will help you. All right? Do you know, I'm going to say something that may be controversial to some of you. I guarantee that there's a couple people that are not here tonight because they were here Sunday night, Monday night, Tuesday night at BBS. Some of you were here Sunday, Monday, Tuesday and are here tonight. Okay, but those that didn't come because they were tired from Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, amen, bless you, rest, I'll see you Sunday. You see, how many know what I'm getting at? You're allowed to say no sometimes. It's okay. It's okay. Because there's a care that comes from wisdom in your life. Amen? All right? So, we'll close there. Now, next week, I'm going to detour. I'm going to talk about time. I want to talk to you about next week about learning to find joy in every season of your life. I'm going to talk to you about that next week. Then the week after, we're going to circle back, and we're going to talk to you about how to evaluate long-term the things we're talking about. So over the next 2 weeks, I want you to think about the first three Wednesdays that we talked about this. A couple weeks, we'll come back and talk about how to evaluate it. Then, by the way, I think the week after that, we have our outdoor time of worship. We're going to do our church service right outside. Bring a lawn chair. I think that's July 17th. Acoustic worship. I'm going to share a word. We're going to get hot dogs and s'mores. And then what happened was, the last night of VBS, they were supposed to do a slip and slide, but I looked at the crowd and I was like, these kids did not come prepared for this. And I just didn't feel like hearing the parents about it. So since we didn't do it that night, the 17th, we're going to whip the slip and slide out for the kids while we're out there at the end of service. All right? So just we're giving you long advance warning now, swimsuits and towels at night, okay? So you know about that. So weather permitting, we'll be out there on July 17th. All right, let me pray. Lord, I thank you that you're with us tonight. We thank you for wisdom. And I pray, Lord, that we all become good stewards of our time, that we're not over busy, we're not stressed, we're not worried, we're not wore out. But we find a rhythm of life that's honorable to what you've given us. So help us, Lord. Show us things. Speak to us about it. And we do all these things for your glory. In Jesus' name, we all say, amen. Amen. All right, have a great week. We'll see you Sunday morning for one big family.